I thank the Lord for all you people that have went to church since you were carried there as a baby. I thank God. Thank God. You should be thanking God every day that you had somebody that thought enough about you to do that with you. Amen? And I've told my story here before. I got saved whenever I was 16 years old. And I never went to church other than once in a great while the neighbor would take me. But my aunt and them finally got a hold of me and started talking to me about what salvation was really about. Amen? And one day I come to the realization that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And I'll tell you what is the absolutely the best decision that I've ever made in my life. And I will not back down from that. I believe it to this day. And I will believe it as far as eternity rolls. I thank God. And I preached this morning. I'm talking about pastorship. And what I talked about this morning, I started in about what it means to be a pastor, and I told you I'd finish it up this evening. And Lord willing, with His help, I will do that this evening. But I want to tell you something this evening. You know what? Whenever the Lord saved me, and whenever He brought me and set me upon a solid rock, and I remember all the things that He changed in my life, and I told you this morning, you know, as I went down through life, and I ended up moving down here, and I had the last thing I told you this morning was I ever wanted to preach. I did not want to preach. I did not. I watched those guys up there behind that pulpit, and I say, "Go get it, fellas! Praise God! I agree with what you're saying, but I never wanted to do it." And you know what? God kept dealing with me, and finally, I answered His call. And praise God! This evening, I am thankful. I told you this morning that I am the pastor of Drift Run Church, and I told you that this morning, and I am glad for that tonight. I told you this morning, and I just you know what? You know. God, praise God, you know, all the stuff that I told you this morning, Lord. But you know what? I want to talk to you tonight about what the church's responsibility is toward their pastor. And I will get into some stuff. It's not a whole lot of stuff this evening, but it's just a few things, but I believe it's important. It's important whenever we talk about this, and I know this for a fact this evening, that if you do these things, and if you uphold your pastor in the way that it should be, and you do these things, and I believe it's Bible grounded, I believe I've got scripture to point it out, but you know what, if you do that, I believe that if your pastor, whoever he may be, whatever it may be, I'll tell you what, he can grow to his full potential. Amen? I am growing just as well as you are growing. You know what, this is a growing thing. Amen? I believe as a pastor, you know what? I can grow more and more and be what God wants me to be through the help of the people that's in this church. I believe that this evening. I'll be over in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read down the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4. Praise God. As I hear pages turning, we'll wait there a second and let you get to it. I love to hear Bible pages turning. Yeah, you know that. I love to hear it. I can stand up here and I hear it turning. I know you're concerned. Amen? Amen. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, Father, I am thankful, Father, for the opportunity that I have once more to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as you open up the hearts and minds here this evening, Lord, I pray that you would do the same with me this evening also, Lord. And that, Father, that the words would go out the way that you would have it. I pray, Father, beyond all things, Lord Jesus, tonight, that your word would be preached in truth, in spirit, and in power. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. I'll tell you something now. Whether they mean it to or not, many people are overly critical of pastors. And I'm going to get to the point of how the church can do it. In my humble opinion, and this is just my humble opinion, usually it's when they don't get their way, usually, or when the pastor didn't do something that suits them, or maybe he visited them enough, or he didn't call them enough whenever something was going on, I don't know, or perhaps preaching something that they disagree with. Your pastors are going to be judged. I understand it. I told you this morning that pastors are going to be judged. Preachers are going to be judged. As you sit back there this evening, you judge the words that I preach here this evening. I understand that, and I agree with that. Sometimes, I told you this morning, and rightfully so, we are going to be judged, and I believe, brothers and sisters, that we need to have big shoulders to handle it, and I told you that also this morning. Paul said that what other people thought of his ministry, and this is what he said, didn't really matter to him. Did you get that? Paul was saying that right here. He said, let a man so count of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. But listen to what he said in verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For now, listen, I'll repeat this again, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Listen, what he was saying in a way was, I really don't care what you think of me. That's what he was saying in a way. And you know why? Because people didn't call him to preach. We know Paul's ministry and how Paul started out. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He had an experience on the road to Damascus, did he not? Amen? What did God tell him that he was going to be? He was going to be something used. What did Jesus tell him? He said he's going to be something used for him. Amen? I believe that any man, and I told you this morning, that is called of God to preach the Word of God, he is called to do the mission, to do the work that Jesus Christ has for him to do. Amen? Ministers, pastors are ministers of Christ. That's what we are. Pastors are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. What does that mean? That means that God should reveal to us what to preach to you all. Amen? I believe that if I am living the way God wants me to live, I believe if I take and study the Word of God like I should study it, He will reveal to me what to preach to you all. As I told you this morning, not everybody is going to get the same thing out of every message, and I do not believe everybody will. I believe that there are messages that will be meant for Jeremy, there will be messages that will be meant for Jamie, there will be messages that will be meant for Tink and Patty or whoever else is in here. Those messages will hit you. You'll get something out of them, but praise God, I have got to do what I need to do to be the spiritual leader of this church. I am the spiritual leader of Drift Run Church. Will you agree with me on that? That's what I am. That if I and I need you, to help me accomplish all that I can be for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, the pastors are stewards of the mysteries of God. Sure, you invited me to be your pastor. You did, and praise God for that, and I'm very appreciative of that. I've told you that this morning. But my first loyalty always will be and is to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Always will be. It has to be that way. And as I know it sounds like I'm recounting a lot of stuff. I'll get into some stuff in a little bit. But if I keep my loyalty where it belongs, believe you me, I will serve you in all that God wants me to serve you. If I keep my loyalty to Him, regardless of what you think of my ministry, regardless of what you think of my preaching, my aim is to please God first. That always will be my aim. You know what I've said before? I get message, whenever God deals with me on a message, and I sit down and I start jotting down notes, and then I get on a computer and I try to get these thoughts down, because if I don't, you know what happens? The devil messes with my mind. They go way out in here, and I lose them. I have got up in the middle of the night, and Tink knows this. I have got up in the middle of the night because God has dealt with me on something, and I need to go write it down right then. And if I don't, you know what the devil does? The next morning, my mind goes on 30 different directions. I forget what God's trying to deal with me on. But I firmly believe that if my desire is to please God, and if my desire is to please God, that, and if your desire is to please God, we will meet in the middle. Do you believe that? If both of us are, if our desires are both to please God to the best of what He wants us, I believe that you and I will come to common ground, and we will want to serve the Lord. I will be the pastor that I need to be. You will be the Christian servant that you need to be. Amen? We will come to equal ground. I believe that. Now, if your desire is for me to please you, I'm going to tell you something right then. I will never meet your expectations. Do you agree with that? If you're sitting back there wanting Dave Long to please you, to meet your expectations, I will never meet them. I will never. And you know what? I'll tell you something else. If I stand up here, my only desire is to make sure that every one of you is pleased, every one of you is happy, every one of you is this, that, what. I will never, ever be the spiritual leader that you want me to be. I will not help you in no way, shape, or form. Because I've got to preach God's Word. I will preach it the way that He gives it to me, and I hope and pray that you take it the way that God gives it to me. But you know what? You are the one that has to deal with what God's Word has put out there. I will say this. If any man stands behind this desk and does not preach from the Word of God, he needs to get down out of here. Amen? He does. I don't care. You know what? Yeah, I've got my opinions, and you know I will tell you when it's my opinion. Do you not? Have I not said that to you? I have my opinions, and I will tell you when they're my opinions. But when it comes to the Word of God and it says it here, that is not Dave Long's opinion. That is His Word. That is God's Word. No matter what man may want to say about the Bible, no matter what they want to say, that it was that man done this, and man, I don't care. It's God-inspired Word of God. And I believe if it's in here, we've got to stand on it. Amen? A pastor's first loyalty is to God. And if a church is to be a healthy church, I'm going to tell you this right now, people must recognize that loyalty. And you know what? They must honor that loyalty. Do you agree with me? You know what? How do you honor your pastor? I'll tell you the first way you honor him, right here. You know what? A lot of folks are mistaken about what it means to honor God's man. It doesn't mean you have to kiss my ring or bow down to me. Am I right? I don't expect that, and I would not want that. That is not right. If you want to honor me as your pastor, I'll give you some ways. Don't treat your pastor with contempt. Don't do that. You know what? And don't tolerate others who do. Amen? Stand up. Stand. If you believe that your pastor is a man of God, if you believe that he is doing what God wants, you will not stand and listen to people run him down and hold him in contempt. Amen? You just won't do it. Don't treat him that. If you want to honor me, then take up with me. Stand up for me. Stand up for, and I'm not just talking about if I'm doing what's right, if I'm doing what the Word of God says to do, and you believe that, stand up for me. And stand up for God whenever you do it. Amen? Give me the benefit of doubt. When in doubt, if you're in doubt of what I'm trying to preach or say to you, come and talk to me. Don't pick up the phone and talk to everybody else about what you think that I'm preaching about or what I'm talking about. You come to Dave Long. Amen? Talk to me. I'll do my best, if I can, to explain to you. But I'm just telling you, that's the way some things are taken sometimes. If you want to give me honor, you know, don't treat your pastor. Don't do some of the things. You can honor me by doing something with God's message. I preach to you, Lord willing, I try to preach God's message to you every week. And what I want, and this is just what I want through God telling me. When the message goes out there, use the message to reach the lost. Use the message to strengthen you. Use the message to help you grow. That's how you honor your preacher. That's how you honor. You say, listen, man, you know what? Go ahead and read your Bibles and what I preach. And let it sink in. Let God's Holy Spirit deal with you and take the message and use it. Listen, a lot of folks are mistaken about that sometimes. You know what? The message goes to them, and you know what? We talked about this morning, and I've heard people say this before too. You know what? The message goes back to somebody, and you know what happens? They let it just go right off of them. You know what? God may be wanting to deal with you on something. And really, seriously, think about this. God may be wanting to deal with you about a situation in your life. The message is preached, and you hear it, and maybe it rings a little bit of a bell, but you just let it go on through. Remember me telling you in the middle of the night I have to write my thoughts down? If God is dealing with you, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, now, let Him deal. Let Him take the Word and let it soak in it. You know, when God speaks to you through me, obey Him. It's not that I'm trying to, I hope you understand, I'm not trying to be Lord over you. I'm not trying to be Lord and Master and try to be some great thing up here that I'm not. I am not nothing without Jesus Christ, and I know that. But praise God, I believe with all my heart, whenever He deals with me about a message, there's a reason He deals with me about a message. There's sometimes you get tired of hearing, and I said this here one night, there's times whenever you get tired of hearing me preach about the same things over and over, do something about it. Amen? Do something about it. God's dealing with me for some reason about it. It's not the idea that I enjoy speaking the same things over and over. Believe you me, I want to move on. Amen? There are some who are content to hear a sermon and then be left alone. You understand that? There are people that will come and they'll listen to sermons and they'll listen and listen week after week, but they just want to be left alone. There are some who are content with the status quo. I'm telling you, Dave Long's not content with the status quo. I'm not. I never have been. I mean, I love continuality in some things, but praise God, when it comes to serving Jesus and listening to what the Spirit says, I'm not happy with the status quo. I want Him to keep moving. I want Him to keep moving in your life. I want Him to keep moving in my life. And I think when we do that, I tell you what, we can grow. There are some who are afraid to move. There's some who are afraid to spend. There's some who are afraid to work. There are some who are afraid to change. I'm going to tell you something. Change can be good. Change can be good sometimes. I told you this morning, I would have just sat at 14th Avenue and been totally happy the rest of my life. But you know what? Change was good. Change has helped me be where I'm at right now. Change will help me to be the man I need to be maybe a year from now if He lets me live that long. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I know that change can continually help us to grow. They're afraid of what God might do in their lives. I want to tell you what, don't ever be afraid of what God can do in your life. Don't ever be afraid of that. Because you know, you get afraid of what of God moving, of God doing something in your life, you'll never, never grow to be what God wants you to be. You'll never do it. There are those who don't want to be bothered, those who are filled with self-interest. There are lots of people like that out there today. You know what? Whenever you do that, whenever you're filled with self-interest, if you get enough of them in the church, you know what it does? It hampers my ministry. Do you understand that? It hampers me. I told you, I don't want to keep hitting on the same thing time after time. But there's a reason, again, I'm telling you. And God's wanting me to grow. He's wanting you to grow in His Word. Amen? Amen. You know, that's what He wants. Listen, if God calls a man to lead you as a church, you know what? Call that man to lead. Listen to me. Allow him to lead. If I am going to be the pastor that needs to be in his church, if I'm going to be the man of God that I need to be in his church, and I'm not saying this against anybody in here, but listen, allow me to lead. Allow me to. I'm not talking about verbally, but spiritually, allow me to lead. Amen? Allow me to do it. Encourage me. And listen to me. I read you some facts this morning about how that 40-some to 75 hours a week is normally what a pastor puts in. Listen to this. Do you know this? That 80% believe that a pastoral ministry affects their family? 80%. They polled a lot of different ministers across this country. 80% of them believe that it affects their family negatively. I'm going to say amen. I know it does. I know it does. It can affect your family. It does. I take time to do what God wants me to do. And so many times, I'm not up here asking you for your pity, but I take a lot of time away from my wife. You understand that? I take time away from my kids, my grandkids. And it's not that I, like I said, I don't want the pity. It's what God called me to do. 33% said that being in a ministry was an outright hazard to their families. An outright hazard to their families. You get that? 75% reported a significant stress-related crisis at least once in their ministry. I agree with that. I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen. 50% felt unable to meet the needs of their job. I feel inadequate more than what you will ever know. There are times in my life when I get up and preach, and after I get down, the devil starts beating on me, and I feel like I am inadequate to do the job that God wants me to do. 90% felt that they were inadequately trained to cope with the ministry demands. 70% say that they have a lower self-esteem now than when they started out. 40% reported a serious conflict with somebody in their church at least once a month. Once a month. Something's going on in some of these churches. 37% confessed having and being involved in an inappropriate sexual relationship. 70% did not have someone they considered a close friend. You know why? You know why? Because it's hard for ministers to have close friends. Do you understand that? I've often wondered why that was until God called me to preach, until God called me to have a church. I would love to be friends, but the thing of it is, and I try to be, but to have that close friend, sometimes it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. There is no doubt that being in a ministry is hazardous. It is. There's no doubt to one's health and their well-being. And I believe God will make a way. But you know what? That does not mean that there may not be a toll for what I do. But you know what? As they were talking about there earlier, praise God. There's a song of Henson sing, Old Camp Many Days. It's an older song. I don't know if you remember it or not. But you know, one of these days of heaven, and it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. I'll tell you what, my prayer, when I lay down to sleep at night, my prayer, my hope, when I come here on Sunday morning, I want one of these days. Every one of you. I may be long gone before you girls are gone, but I want to see you in heaven one of these days. You understand that? I want to see you there. I want you one of these days, old Pastor Day. I remember, and you know what? Don't you think about those kind of things? You know ministers, you know people, but you know what you can say? I want to see Haven River one of these days, Tink. The love that that man showed towards me and towards everybody else, you'll never know. He's been going a long time now. But I'll tell you what, I hope you look at me and that means. I just don't mean something and honor me. Support me in prayer as much as you can. I'm not talking about a half-hearted prayer. I'm going to hold the horns of the altar and pray for my family. Amen. That honors me. That right there, that would give me more than anything to honor me. God, and have me, you know what? Let him know that you're praying for your pastor, that you love him, and that you want to uphold him. And you know, do that for me. Do that for Jamie. Do that for our wives and our kids. Do it for us. Amen. You can do to honor me. Make me accountable for my calling. You know what I'm saying? You make me accountable for my calling. Like anyone else, pastors can allow outside influences. Get in there and take them from what God has called them. You know, in love, come and say, listen, this is, God called not this, maybe it's not, but you know what? Make me accountable for my calling. You know what? I'll tell you what. We get involved in things at our jobs. We get involved in things at our community affairs. We get in jobs and things in our family. We need to be, because you know what? God should be our passion. I told you that this morning. When God calls a man into the work of the ministry, it's a serious calling. God always called upon the leaders. You know what he did? He did to guide his people. In 1 Samuel 13:14, the Bible said the Lord sought out a man what? After his own heart. There's some people that think they are called to be preachers. There are some people, listen, and I want to tell you something. You have to have the heart of a pastor to be a pastor. Do you agree with me? Evangelists, they can go. And guess who has to deal with the aftermath? The pastor. Amen? I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says that the Lord has reason. The Lord is still seeking that kind of people today. You understand that? He's still seeking that kind of people today. And I'm not even talking about the preachers now. I want you to understand something. If you're here tonight, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is seeking you tonight. Seeking you. Wanting you. He's wanting you to be what? I don't know. That's not what the point is. What I'm saying is, though, He wants you to be a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven first. And then let Him deal with the rest of it later. I'll tell you, if you're willing to be used, I'll tell you what, you will be used. You will be used. That's all I got. I hope you understand. And I'll say it again. I don't think I'm braggadocio. She wanted to know if that was a real word, by the way. or was it a Dave word? I'm just telling you today. That's not what I'm talking about. I hope that you prayed. I hope that you understand the CD about a pastor. About what I want to do in my life and what I want to accomplish for Drift Run Church. And this goes for just not even for me, Medina Church, for any other church. Those pastors could reach people that I can't reach. They may never hear me preach, but they'll hear those people to them to stir their heart to know what's needed. Amen? Amen. Amen. They come and give a song.